The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Assurance of salvation, or salvation itself, which would come first? Please stay tuned for a discussion about this here on Grace in Focus. We're glad you're joining us, friend. This is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are a focused free grace organization, and you can find out more about us at faithalone.org. As a matter of fact, we have a magazine, which is also called Grace in Focus. It has a free subscription, and you're welcome to ask us for it. Find out the details at faithalone.org. You only have to pay for postage if you live out of the 48 contiguous United States. That is faithalone.org. And now with today's question and answer discussion, here is Bob Wilkin along with Sam Marr.
And we have a question from VI in Germany. It seems he has some concerns about our view of assurance in relation to everlasting life.
Okay.
He's having trouble because he views it as an infinite loop or a circular line of reasoning. I need assurance to be saved, but I can only have assurance if I'm already saved.
Okay, give me that again. I need assurance to be saved.
But I can only have assurance if I'm already saved.
I think the problem with your loop here is that you're not understanding that you can have everlasting life by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for what he promises, which is everlasting life. Before you believe that, you don't have it. Once you believe it, you have it. But you see, what VI is suggesting is there's some sort of decision to be made in order to have assurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, assurance is something I need to choose to have. And I can't choose to have it because I have to have it to be saved. What Jesus says when he says, "He who believes in me has everlasting life," is that if you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. And he says you'll never perish, John 3:16. You'll never hunger or thirst, John 6:35. You're never going to die spiritually, John 11:26. You'll never be cast out, John chapter 6 and verse 37. No one's going to pluck you out of his hand, John 10:28, etc., etc. He's saying once you believe in him, you have everlasting life and it can never be lost. So the moment of faith is that eureka experience, and as you know, Sam, you've taken our first-year Greek and you're in second-year Greek. Eureka is the first-person singular. It's a perfect tense, and it means I have found or I have found it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that eureka experience is when it dawns on the person, I get it. Whoever believes has everlasting life. I believe I have everlasting life. And at that moment, they not only have assurance, but they have the life.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not any decision to be made. It's just a matter of a realization. You know the situation in Acts 16 with Lydia? Remember, she's the seller of purple, and she's at this place of prayer?
Mm-hmm.
It says, God opened Lydia's heart that she might heed the things spoken by Paul and Silas. That's taken by Calvinists to mean God regenerated her. Now,
mm-hmm.
The Calvinists get away from VI's problem by saying you're regenerated even before you believe.
Right.
You're simply regenerated. But my understanding of Acts 16:14 is that the moment before any of us believe in Christ and know we have everlasting life, God opens our mind to where we see the truth and believe the truth. And there's some sort of an interplay between God seeking us and us responding. So, for example, Paul says in Acts 17:27 that God has granted to men that they might seek after God, grope after God,
mm-hmm.
and find him. And he's not far from all of us. And the author of Hebrews in 11:6 says God's rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Matthew 7:7-11, Jesus said, ask, seek, knock.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do those things, we're going to find, and the door is going to be open for us. So the principle is, let's say VI lacks assurance. What he should do is seek
mm-hmm.
assurance. He should pray about it. Read the Gospel of John and say, Lord, show me, is it really as simple as just believing in Jesus? At some point, as he's reading the Gospel of John prayerfully, God's going to open his heart, open his mind. He's going to see it, and he's going to believe. And if he's unwilling to believe, let's say his view is, no, that can't be true. It can't be that simple. Well, then, it seems to me now you've got the situation Jesus spoke about in John 5, 39 and 40. That's where he was talking to some legalistic Jews, and he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so there can be a willingness, right?
Well, and I think that's a concept all throughout the Bible, and maybe if we have time, you can talk about this too, the idea of God hardening people's hearts or opening people's hearts. I think a lot of people struggle with that concept. And it, like you mentioned in Acts 16, some people will use that to say no one can be saved or no one can believe unless God chooses for them to. But I don't think you see it that way, and I don't either, that it's a decision if God likes this person or doesn't like this person, so I'm going to soften his heart and harden his heart. There's clearly more to it than that.
Well, of course, from a Calvinist perspective, it has nothing to do with liking one or liking the other, or even looking at the works or looking at their future works or looking at their attitudes. From a Calvinist perspective, it's purely a choice of God. We would say it's arbitrary, that God has no looking at the person. But most Arminians would say, yeah, God looks at the person, and for some reason, he is attracted to this person. But, of course, from an Arminian perspective, it's more than faith in Christ. It's faith plus works.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
But yeah, in any regard, God wants all to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4. And he's drawing all. Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all unto me. So everyone is capable of coming to faith. And it's really not circular. All it's saying, how did V.I. put it again? I can only have salvation if I'm already saved?
I need assurance to be saved, but I can only have assurance if I'm already saved.
Yeah. No, you can only have assurance either at the moment you're saved or if you're already saved. For example, for you and me, Sam, we have assurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're already saved. But there was a point at which we didn't have assurance and we weren't saved. So there's some point in time when that changes.
Right, because if you're believing in the promise, if you're believing in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that you can be saved or that you can have everlasting life, if you're not sure, then is this your view? If you're not sure, then you haven't believed yet because it's you haven't been persuaded if you're still on the fence.
Well, yeah, pretty much, except for the fact that a person could have been sure in the past.
Right. Yeah, I'm talking about the moment of faith.
So at the moment of faith, the person is unsure. And then they become sure. And by sure, what I mean is when you believe something, you're sure of that something. For example, we do sometimes use the word believe in English to refer to something we're guessing or hoping, like I believe that the Dallas Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I don't, by the way. But most of the time when we say, I believe that Joe Biden was the previous president, we simply say, I'm convinced that's true. I am sure of it. I believe that Donald Trump is president right now. I believe 2 + 2 = 4, right? I mean, that's not iffy. And whatever it is that you believe, you're convinced of, you're sure of. And so until you're sure, you don't believe. So the real question VI is having, does it really require belief?
Right. It's a long email, but towards the end, he asked another question. How can I be persuaded that I already have eternal life when I know that the requirement for having eternal life is being persuaded? So again, he's kind of getting stuck in a loop.
I guess part of the question, VI, is whether you're willing to be persuaded. I mean, the tone of the question sounds like it's almost challenging us to come up with an answer to an impossible conundrum, right? I would say it's not that challenging at all. Let's take it to a family level. Let's say that you grew up in a family like mine where the dynamics were pretty dysfunctional. So my father was an active alcoholic my whole life. My father loved me in so many ways. He was so caring of me and loving, and every night he would tuck me in bed and kiss me on the forehead. But on the other hand, he was abusive toward me and many times and in many ways. And he failed to fulfill many of his promises to me, and it was a disappointment. So you can look at that and say, well, am I persuaded my father loved me? Well, to me, that's not really a choice. It's either I'm convinced he did or he didn't love me, and I am convinced he did. Flawed individual, but he loved me. In the same way, I think in terms of God, we need to decide, is Jesus trustworthy or not? When he said, he who believes in me has everlasting life and will never perish. If that's true, I believe it. And once I believe it, I know it's true of me. The real problem that VI has is he's not yet persuaded by his own testimony, right? I mean, he's saying he realizes he has to be persuaded.
Or maybe he was at one point and just doesn't have that assurance now. I mean, you should have assurance that the moment of faith, you should be sure, because that's what the believing is. If you're still on the fence, God, you know, he might be telling the truth, he might be deceiving me, I'm not sure, then you don't believe in Jesus Christ for everlasting life.
Yeah, another way of saying what you just said is we don't have to have ongoing, lifelong, unbroken faith in order to stay born again. Mm-hmm. We simply need to believe in Jesus for what he promises, eternal life, and at that moment we're born again, even if later we have doubts, even if later we fall away. But there has to be a point at which we believe. Mm-hmm. And it's really simple. And so I'm sorry if it seems complicated for you, but my encouragement is read the Gospel of John prayerfully. It will come to you. You'll have that eureka experience. I was on staff with Campus Crusade in 1976 when we had this campaign called the I Found It campaign. Well, that's eureka. I found it. And I found Jesus when I realized that by faith in him, I was saved forever. I had been in a work salvation group. Please search the scriptures, and God will open your eyes if you are willing to be persuaded. And in the meantime, let's keep grace
in focus.
Amen.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On our next episode, how are some people born again in Acts without the Holy Spirit indwelling them? Interesting question. Hope you will join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.